So the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin, and after the test of comments on the Pesukim in Parshas Vezayis Havracha, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, Mayrashe Kehilas Yaakov, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has communicated the Torah to Moshe in order to pass on to Klal Yisrael, and it's treated as a Mayrashe, as a kind of inheritance, which sounds like it's proprietary, it belongs specifically to Klal Yisrael, kind of like a monetary possession, and therefore the Gemara comments, Daphne Testament Aleph, that Marasha Lanu, Marasha Velo Lohem. It's an inheritance for Klal Yisrael, exclusively, and not for the Umas Ha'olam, for Bnei Noach. For non-Jews, they are prohibited from learning Torah. Then the Gemara continues, but the Gemara Masechtas Pesachim, Daphne Testament Beis, the Gemara here in Sanhedrin, the Testament Aleph alludes to it, has a different Rasha from this Pasuk, Torah Tzivalanu Moshe, Altikri, Marasha Kilos Yaakov, Altikri Marasha, Elmu Urasa. Don't read it as an inheritance, but rather as a betrothed. That we have a relationship with the Torah that's similar to a marital relationship between a husband and his wife. And therefore, then, of course, that relationship is exclusive. So, too, our relationship with the Torah is exclusive, similar to a marital relationship. And therefore, the Gemara compares a Ben Noach who learns Torah to someone who's interfering in the exclusive marital relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Torah and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And, of course, that's inappropriate as well. So, a non-Jew is prohibited from learning Torah based on either one of these two explanations, either because they're stealing proprietary property that belongs to Klal Yisrael, it's a Yerusha for us. Alternatively, it's because they're interfering in our exclusive relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Altikri Marasha, Elam Urasa. Ask the Gemara though, then why isn't this counted in the months of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach? It's not one of the formal seven mitzvahs that the entire all of humanity is commanded to adhere to follow. So the Gemara says, well, really it is. It's included under two of the other larger headings. If it's Marasha Lanu, but not Velo Lahem, they're taking our proprietary Torah which belongs to us. And using it for themselves, so then that would be like akin to gzela, and it's included under that larger heading. And if it's because I'll take with Marasha Murasa, our relationship with the Torah is kind of a marital relationship, then they're interfering in our exclusive marriage with the Ribbono Shel Olam, so then that's akin to Gilui Arayos, and it's included under that larger heading of the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach of Gilui Arayos. So it's included somewhere within the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. However, then the Gemara asks, in the name of Rabbi Meir, but minayin shafilu nachri va'isik b'Torah shu kagayin gadol. How do you know a nachri who learns Torah is comparable, has become as holy, even as the kohen gadol? Shenamar, because the pasuk says in Parshas Achrimos, asher yaaseh osama adam v'chai b'hem. What is the secret to life? It's following the mitzvahs. Of course, we derive v'chai b'hem, v'loshayamos b'hem, we should live through the mitzvahs, not die through the mitzvahs. Here we derive the heter pikuach nefesh. But simply understood, the pasuk is telling us that the mitzvahs are what keeps us alive. And therefore, the Umas Ha'olam have every right to learn Torah too, in order to follow the mitzvahs that apply to them and to remain alive, in order to avoid the minefield of the human experience. They have the right to keep the mitzvahs too. Obviously, parenthetically, obviously Rabbi Meir is not subscribing to the well-known position of Rabbi Kiva and Yavamis and elsewhere that Atem Kruyim Adam and non-Jews are not considered to be, when the Torah uses the word Adam, it's only referring to Jews and not non-Jews, like Adam Kiyamus Ba'ohel. There's one opinion in the Gemara that only Jews are Matami Ba'ohel and not Bnei Noach, because Atem Kruyim Adam and not Bnei Noach. Here, Rabbi Meir is clearly disagreeing with that. His position is, Asher Yaseh Osam Ha'adam V'chai V'hem includes B'nei Noach too. And therefore, says the Gemara, a striking comparison or, extension, that a Ben Noach who learns Torah could even be comparable to a Kohen Gadol. Ha'alamadatar Shafil Nachir V'otzik B'tar Reyuk Kohen Gadol. Tosis explains why the comparison to Kohen Gadol. I didn't give it to you, but Tosis quotes the Pasuk and say, for Mishle Yikara Hi Mipninim, the Torah is more valuable even than that which you store, you hide away in your safe, right? Something that's mipninim, inside, lefnai v'lefnim. So Torah is more valuable than that. So too, a person who learns Torah is more valuable than the individual who enters lefnai v'lefnim into the most innermost chamber. Of course, who was that? The Kohen Gadol. A person who learns Torah, even Ben Noach, is the equivalent of a Kohen Gadol, even greater than a Kohen Gadol. I believe that this is perhaps, the basis for a comment of the Rambam that most people gloss over or ignore, but the Rambam writes at the end of Shemitah V'Yovel, this part is well known, that not only Shevet Levi has the right to dedicate their entire existence to serving Hashem and is supported by the community, lo Shevet Levi bovad, says the Rambam at the end of Shemitah V'Yovel, ava kol ish v'ish, any individual, mikol boy ha'olam, from any walk of life, who dedicates his life to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Rambam, Harei Zeh Nizkadesh, he has become sanctified, Kodesh Kadoshim, like the Holy of Holies inside of the Beis HaMikdash. Now one could have understood the Rambam, he's only talking about Jews, but he uses a very broad language. Kol ish v'ish mikol boy ha'olam, from any walk of life, even implies non-Jews. And yet the Rambam says, Harei Zeh Nizkadesh, Kodesh Kadoshim. Why the Kodesh Kadoshim? Again, he's echoing this Gemara, that even a Ben Noach who dedicates his life to the service of the Ribbono Shel Olam, to learning Torah, could be, greater than the Kohen Gadol. Harei Zeh Nizkadesh, Kodesh Kadoshim. Perhaps the basis of that comment to the Rambam is found here. Ah, so how could you say it's prohibited for a non-Jew to learn Torah? Either because he's stealing our proprietary, property, it belongs to us, or he's interfering in our exclusive relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam compared to a marriage. Ah, but a guy who learns Torah, Harei Zeh Nizkadesh, Kodesh Kadoshim, Harei Kohen Gadol. So Gemara resolves simply, Hasam b'sheva mitzvah did who? No, that's talking about if he's learning the sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. It's permissible for the Ben Noach to learn the sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. That's what we're talking about. When is it prohibited? He's stealing our property. When is it prohibited? He's interfering in our marital relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam in the Torah. That's if he learns other mitzvahs. So sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, he's permitted to learn. Everything else, he's prohibited for one of the two possible explanations of the pasuk of Torah Tzivolanu Moshe Marashah Ki Lasiakov that we mentioned. Come to Parashas Noach. We have a problem. Because the pasuk tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Noach to bring animals into the Teva, 7 from every kosher species, 2 from every non-kosher species. How is Noach supposed to know what's a kosher species, what's not a kosher species? Says Rashi, see the Leos Torah, the animals that will be kosher. Lamadnu shalamad Noach Torah. This teaches us that Noach learned Torah, in case you didn't know that. We certainly know that Noach's children learned Torah, because they established a yeshiva, proudly. Yeshivas Shem V'Yever, where Yaakov Avinu famously stopped over on his way to the house of Laban. And Rivka went when she was having a difficult pregnancy. So Yeshiva Shem V'Yever is well known to us. Certainly the children of Noach were learning Torah, as well as Noach himself was learning Torah. Now, we could discuss at length whether the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and that's discussed by the Pri Megillah in the Sefer Parashas Drachim, and many afterwards, the Pilpul Shel Torah, do they have the status of B'nai Noach? As non-Jews, do they have the status of Yisraelim? As Jews, and that perhaps was the machlokes between Yosef and the brothers, and a whole people, that's only Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. No one will dispute, no one will suggest that B'nai Noach, literally B'nai Noach, the children of Noach, or Noach himself, never had the status of a Jew, right? They're called Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach that apply to all of humanity, because Noach was never part of the Jewish people, and even reflecting backwards, Noach was never part of the Jewish people. So how is it Noach was allowed to learn what's a kosher animal, what's a treif animal? Frek the Maral and the Gur Aryeh. What happened to the Isa of a guy to learn Torah? V'hadam peridal misas goy shalom on Torah chayiv misa. A guy learns Torah chayiv misa. How was Noach able to learn Torah? Not even to begin to discuss Yeshiva Shem V'Yever, who also were not Jews. The child of Noach and the grandson of Noach Ever. So says Maral, the only time that the Isar for a guy to learn Torah became active was after Kabbalah Satara Maimed Har Sinai. Hainu Akal Shanin Atar Yisrael Kedemukah Chasam. Because the Gemara there compares it to an exclusive relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. So when did the Isar for a non-Jew to learn Torah begin? When that exclusive relationship was developed. When was did that begin? Maimed Har Sinai. We became married to the Torah. So that's when the Isar for a non-Jew to interfere in our relationship began. It didn't begin before then. Or the Torah became ours. Our possession exclusively. When did that begin? Maimed Har Sinai. That's when it was given to us. Prior to that, it was anybody, for first come, first serve. So then, B'nai Noach were permitted to learn Torah. So it's not a problem that Noach and the children learned Torah. That was prior to Maimed Har Sinai, before it became exclusively ours. And that's that would be entirely permitted. Based on this understanding, right, that the Isur is because they're interfering in our exclusive relationship, and therefore prior to Kabbalah Satara, the Maral says is mutter, even today, fast forwarding to today, after Kabbalah Satara, that it is ours, and exclusively ours, one could perhaps understand, though, that, suggest that it would be permitted to teach them Torah even beyond the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, which for sure is permitted, right? Even beyond the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, which normally would be prohibited, if my whole intention is just to teach the Ben Noach about our exclusive relationship with Hashem. Because then he's not interfering in it. He doesn't want to partake of it. He just wants to understand how Klal Yisrael is so special in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So for that reason, I believe, the Shilti Gibor writes in his comments in Avodah Zarah, Vavim et Alph, and the Dapi of the Rif, he says it's permissible to teach B'nai Noach, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. Why? He says, well, Nemar calls out the Torah Moshe and Mitzvah Seha, that Torah of Moshe and the Mitzvahs. Shinitztavu behen Yisrael, that only applied to Jews. Avon Neviyah v'ksuvim nir be'enai shemutar, that's permissible, because that discusses the unique destiny of the Jewish people and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us and is guiding the development of the Jewish people because they're the chosen nation. L'lamda sh'roa behen nechamos ha'amurim l'Yisrael. V'tshuvos l'roi l'haman l'apikarsim. This is our response to apikarsim, those who deny the fact that Hashem chose the Jewish people or continues to run the world. Look in Neviyah v'ksuvim. So it's permitted to teach them Neviyah v'ksuvim because my intention is to enlighten them as to the unique relationship that exists exclusively between Klal Yisrael and the Ribono Shel Olam. Or, you know, similarly, the Tur Yevin discusses, that's the Shagas Ari's commentary of Masechta Chagiga, Daf Yud Gimel, we'll get to that Gemara in a second. But the Shagas Ari notes, look in the Gemara, we find all the time Tanoim, Rabbi Kiva, Amaroim, debating halachic issues with non-Jews, right? Rabbi Kiva has his whole discussion about Babasa with Tarnas Rufus HaRosha, if Hashem loves the poor people, why does he need you to support them? Or Rabbi Kiva defends, you know, whole discussions about halacha with non-Jews. How's this taking place? Or the Ramban has his famous debates with non-Jews. And many, unfortunately, Jews have been called upon, right, to engage in theological debates. How are you allowed to do this? You're teaching Torah to non-Jews? Oh, you know, your life is on the line. Okay, you don't. It's not one of the Gimel Averis HaChamur, as we'll see in a second. You don't have to give up your life rather than teach Torah to non-Jews. But it sounds like, it didn't sound like Rabbi Kiva had to, you know, respond in the way that he did. Sounds like he was permitted. Or we just finished Sukkot, famous comment of the Tur, who asks the question that defines the entire Yom Tov. If we're celebrating Hashem, put us in Sukkos on our way out of Mitzrayim, protected us in Hatz, or that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, provided us with Anani HaKavod, clouds that protected us in our travels throughout the Midbar. Why are we celebrating in Tishrei? We should begin in Nisan when we embarked upon our journey through the Midbar. Why now? So the Torah says, because if we'll go outside during Nisan, no one will ask. They'll say, oh, it's nice, the Jews are sitting outside. But in Tishrei, the you know, people are going to wonder, why are the Jews invading Home Depot? Everyone all of a sudden is becoming a contractor. What's going on? All the Jews are sitting outside. It's freezing cold. And then they will be able to explain to them, we're sitting outside because Hashem put us in huts in our way through the Midbar, and that's what we're celebrating and commemorating. That's what the Torah says. We want to be able to spread that knowledge to the Umos HaOlam. How can we do that? Aren't we teaching Torah to non-Jews? Or if a person in the workplace, Jews, or for whatever reason, are magnets to people to ask questions about religion in general and God and certainly Yiddishkeit and the particulars of why you need to take off this day or that day and why you're wearing that funny thing on your head and why can't you eat here or there, or generally, you know, generally why is there a menorah in the George Washington Bridge? People will ask you about these things. Can you respond? Or can you not respond? So Tur Yevin says, Shai Kisari says, we see Tanoim and Amoraim responding. So he says it must be permitted if it's occasional edification. Why? Why? So I believe that the answer is because there I am in, what am I doing? I'm augmenting, I'm trying to defend the unique relationship, or explain the unique relationship that exists between the Jewish people and the Ribono Shel Olam, which is exclusive. I'm not trying to include anybody else in that relationship, and he has no interest, right, in keeping kosher. He just wants to know, why am I acting so strangely? And I explain to him, because I'm committed to the Ribono Shel Olam, God is a big part of my life. So that demonstrates, it's just explaining my unique relationship with Hashem to others, but not that I am necessarily violating the terms of that relationship or giving out information to other people who are not part of that relationship, you know, including them in our marriage with the Ribono Shel Olam, just by relaying that kind of information. And I think it's in that general misgeret and framework that Hanukkah fits in. We're being mefarsim the nes to the outside population, not because they're they're somehow entering into our unique relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. We're teaching them that Hashem, or we're publicizing the fact, Kadosh Baruch Hu has a unique relationship with the Jewish people. So that's why it's not a violation of this Iser to engage in that kind of, you know, response with non-Jews. Yeah.
Are those that say, like, not speak about it at all? Because, like, I feel like once you get into the conversation,
that's strategizing about whether or not you're actually going to achieve your goal. Because if your job is to represent the Jewish people in explaining to your coworker why you do X, Y, or Z, you better know what you're talking about, and you better be good at doing it. Yeah, so it's a dangerous game.
Yeah,
I'm not recommending it. I'm just saying, if you're good at it, it's permitted. If you're the Ramban, you can do it. Rabbi Kiva, you can do this. But you might have no choice, right? I mean, everyone in their own way has to do, you know, the other rabbi should be mechayev us to know and understand our religion better in order to explain it to others. But I think that those are all permitted under this general understanding. And that's where the Maral is coming from. The Maral says, the Iser for a non-Jew to learn Torah is because he's entering into our unique relationship and turf with the Ribono Shel Olam, but that only began after Matan Torah, not prior to Matan Torah, and that's how Noach was able to learn Hilchos Kashrus, because it was prior to Matan Torah. There is another, though, possible answer here, which the Maharal does not suggest. And that is that perhaps, just like it's mutter for... Why B'nai Noach permitted to learn the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach? Because they apply to them. So what if there'd be a mitzvah that's beyond the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach that would apply, even if on a temporary basis, to a non-Jew? Would he be allowed to learn the halakhas of that particular mitzvah? And presumably, yes! Right? Just like he's permitted to learn the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, he should be permitted to learn that mitzvah. How else is he going to know how to fulfill it? So one could have argued that Noach was permitted to learn which animals are kosher and treif because Hashem gave him a mitzvah to bring on board kosher animals, in multiples of seven, and non-kosher animals, two of each. So he had to know which a kosher animal, which a treif animal, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Hashem. In that case, it's no different than the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Just taking this one step further, or about a mile further, says the Meiri, and that Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. You know when it's prohibited for a non-Jew to learn Torah beyond the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach? Only if they don't have in mind to keep it, which is the general assumption. Why would you keep mitzvahs that are not applicable to you? But if a non-Jew would decide he wants to volunteer to perform any one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, of course Shabbos is off limits, another discussion, but he would want to perform any one of the other mitzvahs of the Torah, he has the right to do so. He can. They can bring karbonos in the Beis HaMikdash. He can volunteer to do a mitzvah. Says the Meiri, let's say he would volunteer, I want to learn tefillin, and I don't know, some other mitzvah. So he wants to learn about it. Can he learn about it? Says the Meiri, yes. You know why a non-Jew is not permitted to learn the Torah beyond the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach? Because they're probably not going to keep it. Then what's going to happen? It'll be dangerous. Because they'll be knowledgeable enough, right? Knowledgeable enough to be able to be conversive in halacha, but they don't really keep it, so they don't know that much, and they're not committed to it. That's dangerous. People will think he's Jewish, and they'll follow him off a cliff. And they won't know that he's really not Jewish. And therefore, what he's saying cannot be relied upon. So says the Meiri, Shelo lekavanas v'chein adinim asik b'Torah. When is it prohibited for a non-Jew to learn Torah beyond the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach? Shelo lekavanas kiyum ikrei mitzvoseha. When does he have in mind to keep the mitzvos? El shelibo chavetz leir liyadias Torah seino. He's interested in the intellectual pursuit of learning Torah. V'talmudeinu roi lenosh. Ah, say what? Then we have to punish him. They should b'nei adam svurim alav. Shehumi shalanu. People think he's one of us. Mitosh shirono so yedav yavo little sachrov. But then he's going to tell them something that doesn't jive, and they're going to follow him, even though it's against the tradition, because they won't know that he isn't in fact Jewish, and it'll lead to a takara. But, says the Meiri, if he has intention to do it, says of the last line, then he is permitted to study halachos, even if it's beyond the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. That same fear that's espoused by the Meiri, that this whole Iser is really because we're afraid he's not going to keep it and lead the Jewish people astray, was already mentioned by the Yamsha, was mentioned later, he came after the Meiri, but is also echoed by the Yamsha Shlomo, by the Marshal, and his comments in the Gemara Bava Kama. The Gemara Bava Kama, Lamaches Merav, tells the well-known Maisa that once the Roman government sent two Sardiotos, two groups of scholars, in order to study the Torah, to censor it, to find if there was anything objectionable. They learned the Torah once, twice, three times. They only had one problem. They said there was one inconsistency, a double standard. If a non-Jewish animal gores a Jewish animal, the non-Jew has to pay the Jew. If a Jewish animal gores a non-Jewish animal, he doesn't have to pay. And they found that to be inconsistent, a little bit offensive. They said, you know what, we're going to leave this out. So they left it out. Fine. Why did the Jews tell them that in the first place? If it's offensive, okay. A whole discussion in its own right. But ask Tarsus, how were they able to teach them Torah? A non-Jew is not permitted to learn Torah, certainly I can't teach him. So Tais says, what do you say? Their lives were in danger. They were going to kill them if they didn't teach them. They had no choice. And this is not one of the Gimel Averos HaChamuros. You have to give up your life rather than teach a non-Jew Torah. So, okay, their lives were on the line. Says the Yamsha Shlomo, but that's Ad Heichan Advar Magiyim. That's how far you have to go before it's permitted to teach Torah to a non-Jew. Let's say I get a position in a university. My whole job is to teach Torah to non-Jews. Permitted or not? Says the Yamsha Shlomo, Chas V'Shalom. It's not allowed. Even if they're going to pay you, or Mishum Shalom Machos, no, you're not allowed. It was only allowed because they had no other choice. Then look over here at the third line of verse, hey, V'oi lohem, lo'oizim chenim tzum medina svard, v'lo'iz v'eretz Yishmael. Woe to those who live in foreign lands, ha'loim dim taras Hashem, im ha'umos bavur hana'asim, because they're paid to do so. V'tashlum eskaran, woe unto them. And what's so dangerous about this? Ki achar kach heim ahab kemuminos. What happens is they're going to know something about Torah, but not enough that they're fully committed, and they don't intend to keep that which they're learning. Oh, and then they're going to lead other Jews astray. People are going to keep it. So the Meiri seems to be fundamentally concerned with people learning things that they're going to keep. And the reason why Ben-Noach is prohibited from learning Torah is because he doesn't plan on keeping. He doesn't plan on fulfilling that which he's learning. But if he would, says the Meiri, maybe even be permitted. And the Rambam doesn't go as far. You know, the Meiri oftentimes echoes the Rambam. So here the Meiri went a little bit further than the Rambam, but the Rambam says something along, it's the beginning of that path, meaning along the same line of thinking, because the Rambam writes in the Tshuva over here, Ois Dalet, that it's permitted to teach the Torah Shevichsav to Notzrim, to Christians. Why? Because they believe in the veracity of the Bible. So you can teach it to them. They believe in it. And the Rambam says you might even correct some misconceptions that they have. But to Yishma'elim, says the Rambam, you can't teach the Bible because they don't believe in the veracity of it. It's not one of their holy books. They don't believe in it. So therefore, says Rambam, you can't teach it to them because they're not going to fulfill what it says. But if, to teach it to Notzrim, to Christians who believe in it, of course, we diverge with them on other beliefs, right? And I've said. But at least the Old Testament is a, you know, they believe in the fact that it was given divinely. So therefore, you can teach them Torah Shavasav. And in fact, says the Rambam, you might correct some of their misconceptions. Now, we are under no obligation to correct their misconceptions. But it wouldn't be prohibited for them to study it because they plan to fulfill that which they're learning about. Yeah.
But how would it be possible to teach a Christian Torah? Because Torah says that that goes directly against the religion. Like, you shouldn't add or subtract from the Torah. How would you be able to teach a Christian that without, like, going into their whole belief system?
They believe a lot happened after, but they do believe that this was also, you know, a divine book. Correct. They believe Hashem later abandoned all this and you people, and He chose us. But they do believe, says the Rambam, that this was, you know, this had truth to it. So therefore, says the Rambam, "Mutar lelamed hamitzvos lenotzim u'mashmal da'atenu," but not the Yishma'elim, because says the Rambam, they do believe in it. Look over here, 3 lines from the bottom. "Avah harelim ma'amina benusach haTorah shelo nishtana v'rak megalim ba'panim be'perushim u'mufsar u'mefarish b'tzot perushim." They explained it differently than us. Shame you do on behalf, but they do believe. Right, that this is a, you know, a holy text. If you meet them, if you'll teach them the right thing, after Shiyasu Lamutov, maybe they'll accept our explanation. But since they're tied to the text, they believe in it, they're invested in it. If you show them what's right, they might fulfill it. As opposed to Ishmaelim, who are not invested in this text, says the Rambam, then you can't. But it's along the same lines. And the Eri went so far as to say, any mitzvah from the, you know, spectrum of mitzvahs, the panorama of mitzvahs that the non-Jew will choose to fulfill, we could even learn, you know, teach him those halachas beyond the Shavuot Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. But how is this permitted? The Gemara said, you're interfering with our unique, distinct, exclusive relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. How is this permitted, according to the Meiri? So I believe the Meiri understood this entire Iser differently than we've been explaining until now. Until now, we've been explaining it that it's somehow, you know, the proprietary domain of Klal Yisrael, it's a morasha, an inheritance, or it's a kind of a marital relationship, which is exclusive, and the non-Jew therefore is not permitted to enter into that relationship. It somehow interferes with our exclusive relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, where he's co-opting property that belongs to us. Therefore, we had to say Noach was only permitted because it was before Matan Torah; it wasn't ours yet. Okay. The Meiri, I believe, is interpreting entirely differently. The Meiri understands, as you know, Rabbi Yaakov Emden asks. He says in his comments in the Gemara Sanhedrin, why does it hurt me in my relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, the fact that there's more people learning Torah? In fact, the Rambam says as part of the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem, mitzvah hey, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, that Shehei Shem Shamayim Misohev Al Yadecho, like Avram Avinu, who spread Ahavas Hashem to everyone. If we love the Ribbono Shel Olam truly, we should want to spread that knowledge to others. So how does it dilute? That's why Torah is compared to a fire, right? You can light many fires in one fire and it doesn't detract from the first fire. So why do I care that there are other people serving the Ribbono Shel Olam? How does that disturb me? That's the kasha of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Eitzin is Hagos, and the Gemara Sanhedrin. How does it bother me? How is it stealing from me? So Rabbi Yaakov Emden has a creative solution. Rabbi Yaakov Emden has a creative solution. He says, that's why it's only, I mean, this is a huge chiddush. No one accepts this. He says, that's why the only time it's prohibited for a non-Jew to learn Torah is if he's going to be mechadesh chidushei Torah and steal my chak. That's what he says. It's my chak, you know. To be mechadish in Torah is a unique domain of Klal Yisrael. If he's going to steal my thunder, and my ability to be mechadish in Torah, that's what's prohibited. The Netziv says the same thing in the Merom Esad and his comments on the Gemara Sanhedrin. It's only prohibited for them to be mechadish in Torah. Wow. So then it's permitted for him to study anything else as long as he's not being mechadish writing Sifrei Chidushi Torah, you know, putting it in Beagle-Eisens or in Z. Berman's. As long as he's not doing that, selling it at the Sfarim sale, we're all good. Okay. That's what Yaakov Emden says. But I believe the Meiri interpreted differently. No. Meiri says like this. And he doesn't say it, but I think this is what he would have to say. Meiri would say, what does it mean, Torah Tivonu Moshe Moirasha? What's a Moirasha? Moirasha is not an inheritance. It doesn't belong to us to do with it as we please. It's a Moirasha. It's ours to take care of. It's a heritage. We're not supposed to change it. The same way we received it, we should pass it on to the next generation. That doesn't mean Torah doesn't change. Torah adapts to the new circumstances. But Torah doesn't, you know, the way it applies to our lives can change given the changing circumstances. But Torah, of course, fundamentally is eternal and immutable. It doesn't change. And our job is to be guardians of the Messiah and to pass it on intact to the next generation. But a person who's learning Torah, who's not committed to that principle, who's not committed to keeping the Torah, he just wants to learn it, is going to get distorted because he's not committed to fulfilling it. Or a relationship, a marital relationship. There are benefits of the relationship, but there's also responsibilities. So let's say a person wants to enter into a relationship with only the benefits without the responsibilities. That's not marriage. That's Gili Arayas, right? That's a Pilegesh. That's not marriage. So that's what the Gemara means. That a non-Jew wants to learn Torah, he probably doesn't have a mind to fulfill it, because why would he? It's beyond the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And since he doesn't have a mind to fulfill it, the Torah will get corrupted. It won't be Morasha Kehilas Yaakov. It will no longer be a heritage. And it won't be the same kind of relationship, because it's not a two-way street. It's Gilei Arayas. Says Miri, that's why it's prohibited. But let's say Noach, coming back to Noach, Noach was going to keep the mitzvah. He needed to know what's a kosher animal, what's a treif animal, to fulfill the mitzvah of the Yibarashim, to put them in the teva. He's going to keep it. Okay. You're going to fulfill what you do. Says Miri, the Ben Noach wants to keep the mitzvah. Pick any one of the mitzvahs. He's committed to fulfilling it. Okay. Then it's permitted. The only reason Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Noach are permitted for the Ben Noach is not because that's kind of like, you know, that's universal material. We have no rights over that, right? You know, any more than the non-Jews. So it's not interfering with our private relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's how the Maharal would probably say. A traditional approach, you know, that's not our private material. The rest of the Torah is our private material. No, the reason why Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Noach are permitted to Ben Noach to study is because that's what they're going to fulfill. If they decide he wants to fulfill more, then it might be permitted for him even to study more. I believe that this is really two opinions in Tosfos and Chagiga, and we'll see, the pendulum could swing the other way. What if he doesn't even have a mind to fulfill the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach? So look over here. It says in Gemara Masechtas Chagiga, Yigimel Amud Aleph, Ein Moisrin Divrei Torah L'Nachri. We learned in Sanhedrin and Testament Aleph that Nachri is not allowed to learn Torah. Now the Gemara is speaking to Jews. A moisture in divrei Torah l'nachri. You're not allowed to teach non-Jews. Shneamar lo yad. We're commenting on the pasuk in Tehillim. Magid dvor of liYaakov, chukav mishpatim liYisrael. Hashem taught chukim, statutes, mishpatim, laws to call Yisrael. Lo yad lo asa ken lo chol goy. He did not do so for the other nations. Or mishpatim baal yadom. And therefore, they are ignorant of our mishpatim. So you're not allowed to teach Torah to non-Jews. Frak Tosfos in the name of Rabbi Chanan. Why do I need a separate derivation from a pasuk and Sefer Tehillim? If the non-Jew can't learn independently, how can I teach him? It's lifnei evil, osite mishal. Lifnei evil, osite mishal certainly applies to non-Jews. I'm not allowed to hand them. The Gemara says it's in Avodah Zarah, Davav, I can't hand them Eva Menachai. It's lifnei evil, osite mishal. How then can I teach him? He's not allowed to learn. How can I teach him? So you don't need a separate derivation from a pasuk and Sefer Tehillim. So says Tosfos, something surprising. Maybe, even though he can learn Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, I can't teach him. Says Tosfos, here's the second line. V'chi teima b'sheva mitzvahs did who? He can learn them, but I can't teach him. De'eno chayv misa, he's permitted to learn them. Maybe I can't teach him. Says Tosfos, that can't be. V'mitzvah ikal l'maisrim lahem. No, since he's permitted to learn them, he needs to know how to fulfill the Sheva Mitzvahs, I have a mitzvah to teach him. This is loosely a basis for the position like, Lubavitcher Rebbe, who felt that it was one of our major objectives of the Jewish people was to spread knowledge of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach to general society. Lubavitcher Chassidus is very busy with this, with the menorah by the George Washington Bridge and all these kinds of things. They're spreading, that's Mitzvah Chanukah, but they're spreading Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach as one of their objectives. Lubavitcher Rebbe spoke about it. It's one of our roles of our L'Goyim, is to spread knowledge of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach to all of humanity. Tosfos here says that. Tosfos says, if they're obligated to learn, the Shavuot Mitzvah B'nai Noach are permitted to learn it. We have a mitzvah to teach it to them. Rabbi Moshe and others, and Sternbach and many other Shuvah Son Hagas, feel that we shouldn't take an active role in doing this before Ikfas of the Mashiach. It's a little, no one's necessarily interested in hearing our messaging. So Chabad, I don't know, somehow manages to cut through all red tape, but everyone else is not, you know, they're not necessarily interested in hearing what we have to say. The way we should go about this is more passively, and is important, in embodying the Shavuot Mitzvah B'nai Noach. And everything that we do, we should espouse it as pop, you know, as role models to all of general society of greater ethical and moral behavior. And therefore be right to the nations in that kind of a passive, you know, passive role model function. Okay. But says it can't be that it's prohibited to teach them Shavuot Mitzvah B'nai Noach if they can learn it on their own. So says Taisus, so then why do I need a whole Easter to teach them if they can't learn on their own? So Taisus answers over here in the third line, V'yishlema, the Hocha Mairi, afil hecha the Iko Oved Kerchovim Acher. He doesn't need me to teach him. There's another non-Jew who will happily teach him. L'fnei L'sitei Mishra only applies if I enable him to perform the Avera. But if, the Gemara says, we're on, you know, the Avram Menachai is right here, and he says, can you pass the Avram Menachai? He easily could have gotten up and gotten it himself. There's no lifnei evil leisitei mikshol. Or if there's another person over here, he couldn't have gotten himself, but there's another person over here he could have asked, who will pass it to him. He didn't necessarily need me. Says Taisus, that's not lifnei evil leisitei mikshol. So Taisus says, we're probably talking about such a similar situation. There's another person who could teach him, Jew or non-Jew. He doesn't necessarily need me. So there's no lifnei evil leisitei mikshol. Nonetheless, even though, you know, this is not, I'm not prohibited from teaching him because he's prohibited to learn, there is a separate and distinct principle not to teach him. I should not be actively involved in teaching him. Forget about his independent obligation, you know, or prohibition from learning, things that are not relevant to him. But I should not be involved in teaching him, as the Gemara says, a moisture in divrei Torah ganachri. The process of mesira, of mesira, is from, you know, ish from ish, from Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe the Yeshua, Yeshua the Zakenim, Zakenim, Lamchek Nesek Gdola, and it should not be diluted by teaching it to the general culture beyond Klal Yisrael. Okay, so it's an iser to be moisir Torah ganachri beyond their individual prohibition from learning these items, and my, you know, obligation because of lifnei evil leisitei mikshol, I'm prohibited from teaching Torah to non-Jews independently. That's what Tosfos says. The Rambam might disagree. The Rambam never brings this halacha in all of Mishnah Torah, or and never appears in Shulchan Aruch. Nowhere. It does say a non-Jew is not permitted to learn, but it never says I have an independent iser to teach him. Interesting. Why not? Says in Minchas Chinuch. You know why the Rambam never brings it? The Rambam does not think it's a separate Iser. This falls under the general prohibition. The Gemara mentions in Makkos and Chulin and elsewhere. You're not allowed to learn if you don't plan to fulfill that which you're learning. And you're not allowed to teach someone what's called a Talmud She'eino Hogun, a Talmud that's not fit. What kind of Talmud is not fit? We love everybody. A Talmud who doesn't plan to fulfill that which he's learning about. Rambam writes, you know, because Talmud Torah, you can't teach him. Talmud She'eino Hogun. Now, that doesn't include people today who are not Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. We hope to edify, you know, educate them that they will keep the Torah and the Mitzvahs. But a person who states, no, you know, no matter, pigs could fly, I am never doing this. You know, even if people say that, we never know. We don't really believe that. There's always the pinto eat inside. But let's say you would know, theoretically, this person will never keep what he's learning about. The Gemara says, Haloi made, and he doesn't have a mind to be Makayim Tov, Loi, Shaloi, Nivra, Nochlo, Shaloi, Nivra. It would be better, it never would have been created. You know, you're prohibited from teaching a Talmud Shein Ohagun. So Ram never brought this. This is part and parcel of the Minyala to teach anybody who doesn't plan to fulfill that which they're learning. Why did the Rambam do that? Because the Rambam feels this is not a separate prohibition. You're not diluting Mesorah by teaching an Adjo. If he wants to learn and he plans to fulfill, Gizinta, hey, what did the Meiri say? The Meiri said it's only if he doesn't plan to fulfill it. If he plans to fulfill the mitzvah, he can learn anything beyond the Shabbat mitzvah B'nai Noach permitted to him. The only reason he's limited to Shabbat mitzvah B'nai Noach is presumably what he's going to fulfill. If he wants to fulfill more, that's fine. As long as he's going to preserve the heritage by Rosh Kilas Yaakov, he doesn't intend to only gain and not to, you know, have the responsibility of fulfilling that which he learns. He's not, you know, that kind of Gilui Arayos, and it's permitted. It's not because he's infringing on our territory. No! It's because he's, you know, infringing on our Mesorah. It's because he doesn't plan to fulfill it, says the Rambam. That's every Talmud Sheino Hogan. He's no different than anybody else who plans to learn, who's learning, he doesn't plan to fulfill it. What would you say then? Avraham ben Noach, who learns about Shavuot Mitzvahs, who doesn't have intention to fulfill it. Swing the other way. Maybe that would be prohibitive. So in fact, look over here. Says the Bach. Hagoyz HaBach. Usually he just makes like a correction in the syntax or something. Here he quotes a Teretz in Tosis that doesn't appear in our Tosis. Quotes it from the Ein Yaakov. Over here in the brackets of voice Vav, the Sefer Ein Yaakov Tir to Teretz Acher. V'yeshloim edahainu koydim shenitna ha-Torah, aval ha-Acher shenitna ha-Torah. The only time a Ben Noach was permitted to learn Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach was before Torah was given. V'acher shenitna ha-Torah v'hitira lehem, yafinim e-hai krodah av Sheva Mitzvahs osu lelamdam. You're not allowed to teach him Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. How could it be? I'm prohibited from teaching him Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So he explains. He's alluding to a Gemara in Bava Kama Lamaches Med Aleph. The Gemara says in Bava Kama Lamaches Med Aleph over here, Oizayin commenting the Pesach and Sefer Chabakuk, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Omad V'yimoydeid Eretz. He got up and he measured the land, meaning whether people were keeping the mitzvahs. They were not. Surprise. Rav Vayater Goyim. So he was matir the goyim. What was he? What did he permit to them? Says the Gemara, he permitted sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach. He said, Rav Hashem said to them, "You people don't care about it. I don't care. You don't want to do it? Don't do it." Mutter. What? No more sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach. That's all over. So Gemara says, no. What he meant, what the Rav Hashem meant was, they get reward as a person, as if he's as a eino mitzvah v'yoy. So like a person who volunteers to perform a mitzvah, who gets less reward than a person who's obligated to perform it. Because when you're obligated to perform it, it becomes a burden, it becomes difficult. The yetzer hara takes the better of us. When you're volunteering, it's fun, it's exciting, okay. So there's no yetzer hara, you get less reward. So Hashem said, you're going to do the mitzvahs now, you'll only get reward, ke eino mitzvah v'yoy, so now mitzvah v'yoy, because they were not keeping them, they weren't committed to them. So Hashem said, forget it, rova yata goyim. No longer mitzvah v'yoy. Says Tosfos, the Bach quotes from Tosfos Ein Yaakov. If that's the case, they're not committed to performing the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Then guess what? You can't teach them. The holy had to teach them with that because this is kind of like universal available material, and it's not infringing on our relationship like other. You know, I think is the traditional approach. It's because the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach they intend to keep, but if they don't intend to keep them, says Tosfos in the Bach, then it's prohibited to teach them too. Wow. Okay, so I think we have these two perspectives, which perhaps, we have two ways of resolving how Noach was able to learn in Shiva Shem V'Yever, either because it was prior to Matan Torah, in which case everything was open to them, the exclusive relationship between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam had not begun yet, it wasn't proprietary turf before, prior to Kabbalah Satara, or because Noach here planned to fulfill the mitzvah. Shem V'Yever might have been learning things that they intended to fulfill, and therefore they were allowed to learn even things beyond the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, as long as they intended to fulfill it. The only time it's a violation, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, Moirosh, Akilas Yaakov, is if you're not committed to fulfilling it, then the heritage is going to get corrupted. Or then, you're only looking to benefit from the relationship, not to have the responsibility for the relationship. That's what's inappropriate. I believe these two perspectives might help us understand the comment of the Maharsha. Says the Maharsha over here, Teres HaTaisis Kasha. Taisis asks, why do I need a separate prohibition not to teach Torah to a non-Jew? If the non-Jew can't learn on his own, I certainly can't teach him as if they either. Says Marsha, no. Because there are certain things he can learn on his own, I still can't teach him. What's that? Tamei HaMitzvahs, or we could call the soid of the mitzvah. The deeper meaning of the mitzvah. He can learn about Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach all he wants. But he cannot learn it bi'iyun, ba'amkus. He can learn about the details as they apply, of course. I mean, if you want to call that bi'iyun, but he can't learn the amkus hadvarim. And the Marsha has, and that's what I'm prohibited from teaching him. He can learn it on his own, but you're not going to get this on your own. So what is added by the Gemara Maseches Chagiga? He can learn Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. I can't teach him a Moisrin Loi. Says the Maharsha, a Moisrin Loi means I can't give it over to him. Give what over to him? That which is unique to Klal Yisrael. What's that? The Tamei HaMitzvahs, the Soides of the Mitzvahs. And he's medayek like that from the Pasuk. Because the Pasuk says, Magid Dvarav LeYaakov, Chukav Mishpatav LeYisrael. Hashem taught us, Chukim Mishpatim, statutes and laws. But we know a chok is something we understand the reason for. We don't understand the reason for. A mishpat, we do understand the reason for. But then look at the language of the pasuk. Lo yaseh lo osa ken lo chogoy u'mishpatim bal yudol. They don't know mishpatim. They don't know the reasons for the mitzvahs. What do they have? Chukim. They keep the sheva mitzvahs like it's a chok. Of course, there's ethical reasons not to rip limbs off animals and eat them. And every human being can intuitively know that. But there's deeper, there's a deeper message too. That should not be shared with B'nai Noach, and that's what the Gemara is referring to in Chagiga. So according to the Maharsha, some say that's the Pshat in the Pasuk. V'osa kain l'chol goy, kain is Gematria 70, Gematria soid. Lo asa kei l'chol goy. You can teach him the mitzvahs, not the side. I don't mean the Kabbalah of it. I mean the deeper meaning behind it. That cannot be taught to a ben Noach. So according to the Maharsha, he can learn, but he cannot learn be'ian. Why not? Why not? The Meiri didn't place any limitations on it. The guy's going to fulfill it. Teach him. Why? Why is the Maharsha limiting it to be'ian? To understand the deeper meaning of it. So I believe the Maharsha here is teaching us again. He's teaching us that, no, like the other approach. It's because this part is proprietary to Klal Yisrael. Yes, he doesn't believe, like the Meiri said, that in the Rambam, the only reason he can't teach him Torah is because he's not going to fulfill it. If he's going to fulfill it, so then let him weren't even be in. I think that's what the Meiri would hold. The Maharsha disagrees. The Maharsha is like the tree, you know, I think, but the more obvious approach. And that is that this is, you know, an exclusive relationship that we have with the Torah, or this is, you know, this is private property, and it's not permitted for the Nachri to be involved in it. So even when it comes to the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, there's a line. There's part of it that's reserved for Klal Yisrael, and what's that? That's Limud B'Iyun. That's not permitted for him. Like the Chidush Torah of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. He can't learn Chidush Torah. No, Chidush Torah. That domain is reserved for Klal Yisrael. That's unique. That might be also the reason for the distinction of the Maritz Chiyus. I didn't give it to you over here. Maritz Chiyus writes in that Gemara Masechtas Chagiga that Bnei Noach are only prohibited from learning Torah Shebaal Peh. All of Torah Shebichtav, you know, the Bible, can be taught to non-Jews. No limitations on that at all. He doesn't cite it, but that's what Rabbeinu Gershon says in Masechtas Bava Basra. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, "V'yeh Chafal from the base." Let us think over here. Oishes, Echam Yivnei Achatzah Shebikesh Lasos Roifei Uman. Let's say you have everybody has to pay taxes who lives in a community. What do they call it? Maintenance fees. I benefit from the garbage. I benefit from the schooling that, you know, the public schooling in the times of the Gemara that existed in these little chatzeros, these little developments. So if there's a doctor there, if there's a carpenter who's on staff, like a super, or a kindergarten teacher, we all have to pay dues. And no one can say, I don't want a kindergarten teacher. Everyone has to have a malamit yinoikos. Everyone has to pay. Ah, really? But the Gemara, but they quote over here a statement. One of them can say, I don't want to pay, and he's out. I thought you said you can't do that. Everyone has to pay, you know, the dues. So Mara says, he was talking about, there's a non-Jew who's living in the development, he doesn't want to pay, he doesn't have to pay. What? There's a non-Jew who's living in the development, he's coming to the same schools? How's he learning the same thing the Jewish children are learning? You don't have to teach him Torah. Says Rabbeinu Gershom, Imroitza Lilmot Sefer Refuah Omikra. You're teaching him Tanakh. Tanakh is mutter to everyone. Wow. Torah Shebichtav is mutter for everyone. And that's where the Netziv writes in the Shuvah's Meir Shevdover 2. Torah is mutter to everyone. He brings a raya, which I don't think is a good raya. But he brings a raya from Pasuk and Parashas Devarim. The Pasuk says, when Klal Yisrael crossed over in Teretz Yisrael, Ho'il Moshe Be'er Satayra Hazos. Moshe Rabbeinu began to explain the Torah. What does that mean? Anybody know? Ho'il Moshe Be'er Satayra Hazos. Moshe Rabbeinu began to translate the Torah, Rashi says, into 70 languages. Why would you translate the Torah to 70 languages? Which Jew is speaking, you know, Swahili? But we need to translate it for Mandarin. Which Jew is speaking Mandarin? Ah, so maybe it's not for the Jews, says the Netziv. Who is it for? The non-Jews. How can you teach a non-Jew Torah? Says the Netziv, it was Torah Shebichtav. That's permitted. I don't think that's a pshat, though. Chedush Arim says, many quotes from Chedush Arim, Chedush Slavi is the same thing. It wasn't for the non-Jews. What? All of a sudden now. No, it wasn't for the non-Jews. It was for the Jews. What's the message? No one here is speaking Mandarin. No one here is speaking Russian. What are we translating to 70 languages? Because Kadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu, was teaching Klal Yisrael. You're now entering Eretz Yisrael. There's going to be a time you're going to go back into Golos. And you're going to be speaking different languages. Don't think the Torah is only reserved for Eretz Yisrael. It only applies here. It applies and is applicable and has messages and lessons for every society you're going to find yourself in, no matter what language you're speaking in, the Torah is relevant for you. So it has nothing to do with the non-Jews. Okay, maybe. Maybe yes, maybe no. That's the Netziv, the Maritz Chiyus claims that it doesn't apply to the Torah Shebichtav, only applies to Easter, only applies to Torah Shebaal-Peh. Why? Why? Why should it not apply to Torah Shebichtav? The answer is, they understood, like I think, the more traditional approach is because this is our unique, exclusive relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. The non-Jews are not permitted to learn, not because they're not going to fulfill what they're going to do. That's what the Meiri said, the Rambam said. It's a different approach. They're interfering with our unique relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Where does Klal Yisrael have our unique relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam? Turn the page. Gemara Gittin, Samach Amibes. Amar Rabbi Yochanan commenting on the Pasuk of Parashas Kisi. So, Lokaros HaKadosh Baruch Hu Brisim Yisrael, El Bishvil, Dvarim Shebal Peh. The Pasuk says, Ki Al Pi Advarim Ha'ela, Korat Yitchar Brisim Yisrael. Based on these words, Baal Peh, Al Pi Advarim Ha'ela, Kadosh Baruch Hu establishes his primary relationship with the Jewish people. It's through the Torah Baal Peh, Torah Shebichsav, the Beis HaLevi writes in his Drashas, Drashas Yurches, is found in every motel room. He doesn't give this example, obviously, but it's found in every motel room throughout the United States. How can we possibly claim that the Bible is, you know, the sole property of the Jewish people? It's found throughout the whole world. That's not unique to us. What was unique to the Jewish people was the Torah Shebaal Peh. That's why many yeshivas, all yeshivas, we primarily concentrate on Torah Shebaal Peh. We neglect the Torah Shebichsav too much, but the Torah Shebaal Peh is our main focus because that's where we have our primary relationship. But the Ribbono Shel Olam was expressed through Torah Shebaal Peh. So that's why one could argue that perhaps Torah Shebichsav is permitted to be learned by non-Jews. It's only the Torah Shebaal Peh. I don't think the Maharsha agrees with this, though. Not my raya. Others bring this raya. I brought it on my own, but others bring the same raya. Because the Gemara tells a story of Masechta Shabbos, Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, important Gemara. The Gemara tells a story about a Nachri who was standing outside the Beis Medrash of Hillel and Shammai, and he heard them discussing the Big Day Kohen Gadol. He said, wow, these sound fancy and wonderful. Who gets to wear these things? They tell him the Kohen Gadol. So he said, fine. I want to convert and be Amanasta. You make me the high priest. So Hillel said, okay, convert. The guy converted. He came and he learned. And then he got up to the Pasuk Hazara Karav Yumas, the outsider who brings a carbon is put to death. Who is this? Even David Melch Yisrael is considered to be an outsider. He can't bring a carbon. Certainly he can't wear the Big Day Kohen Gadol. He understood. Well, then he certainly has no shot at becoming the Kohen Gadol. But nonetheless, he remained, on the path of Torah. The mitzvahs became a nice Jew. Okay. Tosis asks, how was Hillel able to convert him? The guy was only converting for an ulterior motive. We normally don't accept gerim. We normally don't accept gerim if they're coming in order to get married or if they're coming in order for zechusim in Eretz Yisrael because it's beneficial to be Jewish or because he wants to be a Kohen Gadol. How can Hillel convert him? So Tosis says, you're right. We normally don't do this. This is what we rely on today. That every dayan has the right, if a kolofira osei neha dayan, every dayan has the right sometimes to violate this principle and accept a ger who he thinks will be legitimate in the end. I think we've discussed this principle before. However, the Maharsha says no. Disagrees with Taisus. Says the Maharsha, Hillel did not convert him. He only converted him after he learned that he couldn't be the Kohen Gadol, and he saw he still stayed, then he converted him. Wow. Okay, that solved the Geirus problem, right? But now, we're after the bigger issue, or not a bigger, a smaller issue, but how did he learn Torah, by the way? Hey, how's he learning Torah? He still hasn't converted yet. According to the way Tysus learned, he converted. Then he had the problem. How did Hillel convert him if he wanted to only be the Kohen Gadol? The answer is we give a certain leeway to Dayanim. Marsha says, no, he didn't convert. If he didn't convert, how's he learning? Says Marsha on the last line over here, Ois Yud, Vim Ken, Ha'ech Limdo Torah, Kodim Shin Is Gayer, says the Marsha, Ha'akum Sha'oisik, B'Torah Chai Misa Yesh Leimar, Ha'ech Kevin Shabala His Gayer, Shari Limdo Torah. Since he's coming to convert, it's permitted. We do this every ger who's in the process of conversion. We teach them a little bit of Torah beforehand. You have to, otherwise they don't know what they're getting into. So Rabbi Kiva Eger disagrees with this Maharsha. He says, you can't do that. Taisus didn't say your answer. You know why Taisus didn't say the answer to the Maharsha? He held even a ger who's coming to convert can't learn. Wow. That's Rabbi Kiva Eger. It's a famous machlekes Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Maharsha. The problem with Rabbi Kiva Eger is it's not practical. Then with Gerim, the guy's going to ask, what am I getting myself into? We can't tell you. But do you accept it? It's a little bit difficult. So, but most Paschim like the Maharsha, it's permitted if the person plans to convert. And that could be understood according to both explanations that we've had. Either because he's not violating our exclusive relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, he wants to be a part of it. Or, it's not that he doesn't plan to fulfill that which he's learning about. He does plan to fulfill when he will convert. So a ger who's in the process of conversion, we can justify why he's permitted to learn. But what do you see from the Maharsha? What was this guy learning? Anyway, let's get back to that. What was he learning? Psukim. He got up to the Pasuk, Hazara Karav Yumas. He wasn't learning Bo Basra. He wasn't learning Chule. He wasn't learning Moi Katan. He was learning Chumash. And yet the Maharsha asks, how was he able to learn? And Maharsha had to come up to a huge chiddush that is because he's in the process of converting, so it's permitted. You see, the Maharsha probably did not accept this chiddush of the Maharsha of the Netziv And many others disagree too, the Shalmesh. Many others disagree that Torah Shabbosav also is not carte blanche, not permitted. But this is a big dispute. A big machlekes achrayim. And as we've seen, two perspectives. But this comes up most often when a person is in, let's say, a mixed audience. There was a rabbi, Rabbi Teitz, who was the founding rabbi of the Elizabeth community. It's not well known, but in the 50s, from the 50s to the 70s, used to have a radio program. Someone else stole the name now, called Daf HaShavua. Now it's a popular thing now, Daf HaShavua. It should continue to get stronger, but you know, where they learn one Daf B'i in the whole week. It's yeshiva guys who don't want to do Daf Yomi, it's too fast. So they learn one Daf B'i in the whole week. Wonderful. He had Daf HaShavua. He also coined the term. He didn't trademark it, though. So he coined the term, and he had a radio program, Motzei Shabbos, a Yiddish shir in Gemara on the radio for an hour and a half, where they never covered a Daf. But, you know, it was a block shear every Motzei Shabbos. People would listen. I think he had tens of thousands of listeners on a weekly basis. A lot of people didn't know how to learn or didn't have access to shear, right? Prior to YU Torah. So he used to have shear online. But half the audience could be non-Jews. There were non-Jews who spoke Yiddish. You know, that's the Jews don't speak Yiddish anymore. But in those days, the non-Jews spoke Yiddish. Maybe there's a non-Jew that's listening. Or Moshe was asking Igris Moshe about a boy who comes home from yeshiva for Pesach. His parents' house, and there's a non-Jew by the Seder. Can he say different Torah by the Seder? Can he interpret the Haggadah? You know, it's just, I once had years ago. It's my second year teaching. I had Talmud in my shir. Yeah, he didn't have a Jewish name. You know, look, I didn't think. You know, who knows? I don't pay too much attention to these things. And then he finished all 4 years, whatever. I was talking to the Manal at the time, before the current administration, and. He said to me, you know, we're going over, who was graduating? He says, did you ever find out if he's Jewish? That's not my job, that's your job. The whole time, I'm not sure he was Jewish, but the whole time, the guy did very well in Chinas, but who knows? I don't know, who knows? Is the guy Jewish, not Jewish? Or I once gave a COE, a continuing learning thing in a law firm. Why you asked me to do it? I'm sure there were non-Jews in the audience. So you're not allowed to do it? So Rav Moshe writes in Igros Moshe that as long as your intention is to come to speak to Jews, there has to be a majority of Jews there, right? But if your intention is to speak to Jews, even if there's a non-Jew there, so that's not your intention. It's only prohibited when your intention is to teach non-Jews. If I, this could be a larger principle, if I do something and somebody, you know, which is mutter, and someone else takes it and does an isa with it, I sell frying pan. Someone else takes the frying pan and kills somebody. I'm not over on Lifnei Iver for Ritzicha, because he took a frying pan. If I sell guns, you know, it's a different story. But if I sell frying pans, I'm giving a shear. Someone comes in and does an isa with my shear. That's not my price. And Rav Moshe Zariah, because he says from Tevi Avdo, the Gemara says that Rabbi Gamliel had a servant, an Eved, who wasn't Jewish, who sat underneath the table and listened to all the discussions, Talmudic discussions. Tevi Avdo was a great guy. He later converted, right, to make the minyan for Rabbi Lazar in the Gemara Brachis. He made the minyan. But Tevi Avdo was not Jewish. And yet he was learning, because he was sitting underneath the table. How were they able to discuss Talmudic topics in his presence? Must be that when it's not your intention, says Rav Moshe, that it's permitted. So as long as your intention is to speak to the Jews, then it would be permitted. Sri Deyesh was asked to be a lecturer in a university, so he has a tshuva about this too. He says, well, let's say you're discussing topics that are entirely, that are universal. They apply to Shavu Mitzvah B'nai Noach, jurisprudence, and applies to Halacha too. So then maybe there's areas of overlap between them, and that would be permitted. But Lamaisa, I think there's an important takeaway here. And that is, of course, these things come up all the time, by the way. These kinds of situations, people asked at work and things. But I think it's an important lesson, Musa Haska, for us over here, even right now, and that is that the Gemara here is teaching us we are married to the Torah. You know, it's not just we learn Torah, and there's an expectation, of course, that we fulfill that which we learn. But it's more than that. It's kind of an all encompassing marriage to the Torah. That's why in the Chuvis of the Tashbates, he writes that all of our minhagim, by a marriage, are patterned after Kaiser's experience at Maamad Har Sinai. Why? We left Mitzrayim, Hashem gave us the Bezos Mitzrayim. We left with gold and silver. How do we propose marriage? Gold and silver. And then the Sefer HaFlah continues, and his comments to himself, this Ksubis on Dav Zayin, what happened at Maamad Har Sinai, Kadosh Baruch Hu lifted up the mountain over their head, Kafaleim Har Kigigis, and gave us an ultimatum, accept the Torah or not. So too at a chuppah. I mean, hopefully it's not coerced, right? But Kadosh Baruch Hu lifts up a chuppah over the chasen and the kala, and that's how the marriage continues. And then the Baal HaTurim says that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us at Maamad Har Sinai luchos, a written document, we give to the Kala, we give her a Ksuba. The Maral, the Rabbeinu Bachri, write in the comments in Parashas Emor, that that's why Kaisel stayed a year after Mamid Har Sinai, at Har Sinai, that was Shana Rishayna. Rabbi Sazal Meltzer says that's why we don't say Tachanun, at least most places don't say Tachanun, for 7 days after Shavuos, that's Sheva Brachis. Oh. Mamish, everything is patterned. All of our Minhagi Chasen are patterned. That's the Yisoid of the Tashbetz are patterned after Mamid Har Sinai. So on Simchas Torah, Rabbi Chaim Palagi writes, we renewed our vows with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not a Jewish concept, but we renewed our vows, so to speak, with the Ribbono Shel Olam. How so? Because they were Chasen Torah, Chasen Brachis. Chasanim again. And then Rav Issa Zalman says, most places, not here, don't say Tachanun for 7 days till the end of Chodesh Tishrei. Another 7 days of Sheva Brachas. But he adds Rav Chaim Palagi something fantastic. Maybe it's not him, maybe it's the Chidah. One of them adds that that's why, what do we do before we have Chasen Torah, Chasen Brachas? We dance around with the Torah. We circle the Torah with the Mizbeach 7 times. Just like the Kala circles the Chasen 7 times. You know, once a it's an old joke. A chassan, the cow was circling. So he said, Zeh, Chalifasi, Zeh, Kaparasi, you know, as she's circling. So Sadiq Kedusha says, what are you doing? Is that a chicken? Kaparas? Yom Kippur? What are you saying? So he says, oh, you're right. Zeus Chalifasi, Zeus Kaparasi. He changed the lush in the cave. Anyway, I kid some mice, of course, not comparable at all, but just like a chassa, you know, the kala circles the chassan 7 times to break down the barriers between the chassan and the kala, like Yeshua walked around Jericho 7 times, so too we walk around the Torah 7 times to break down the barriers that might exist between ourselves and the Ribbono Shel Olam, become Simchas Torah. We are just like Shavuos, Maimon Har Sinai is a nisuin to the Torah, Al Tikrei Marasha, El Mu'urasa, we're married to the Torah, if not in an exclusive sense, but certainly in the fact that we're committed to the Torah. And we have to keep that in mind, that we don't just learn Torah, we don't just fulfill Torah, but in a certain sense, we're really, really married to the Torah. Okay.